We have some special visitors with us today. We have a young lady that we went to Bible college with, and back when we were in school, her name was Julie Sedinko, and now her name is Julie Sedinko Davis, and her daughters are with her. She's got three girls, Nicole, Allison, and Mallory, and we're glad to have y'all. We have had a good time. They've been here. They came up Friday, and they have been here over the weekend so far, and we've had a big time. And they reside in Springfield, Missouri, Mecca. So they're out of Springfield. But Julie grew up in California. So we have given them a crash course in redneck. As a matter of fact, she posted on Facebook, and I wrote it down, Girls Redneck Lake Vacation. And she has gone day one, day two, and we have had some real good fun together. And again, we're giving them a crash course. They've rode the tube, and they have swam, did a little bow fishing, and have shot guns. So, for the first time, Julie, and don't ever give a woman a gun that's mad at you, because Nicole, are you 15? Yeah. We let Nicole shoot the AR, and she emptied the clip and hit very good and then turned around and went like that. She loved it. So we have had a good time. We have had a good time, and it's good to have them here with us. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start reading verse 4. And this is very familiar to everybody. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. And I'm going to read the last part of verse 3 before I start verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. This is out of the NIV. And he is talking about some people who were having trouble getting along, but he says at the end of verse 3, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's a lot of times when heaven's mentioned, it is followed by rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I want to speak to you a few moments this morning about the peace of God. The peace of God. I want to just bear with me just a minute. I like what this said about the peace of God. It says, according to the Bible, and we really don't have to explain what peace is about, but according to the Bible, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is the harmony and calmness of body, mind, and spirit that supersedes earthly circumstances. I want to repeat that. It's the harmony and calmness of body, mind, and spirit that supersedes earthly circumstances. Nearly all of the letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament begin by grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the scripture, we find that peace is defined as a blessing from God and harmonious with his character. Our God is a God of peace. Amen. Our God is a God of order. Our God is not the author of confusion. He's orderly. He's peaceful. And we enjoy peace. And everybody said, amen. And all the men can say, happy wife, happy life. We enjoy peace in our relationship. If Melissa's not happy, nobody's happy. Okay? We enjoy peace. We enjoy peace in our relationships. And we just, it's something that God put in us. Most of us, I think some people don't enjoy peace. But for the most part, as believers, we enjoy peace. But this has been an unpeaceful year. If anybody had told me in January what we would have gone through this year, I'm not a betting man, but I'd have took the bet. You know, that we were going to go through a pandemic and all the mess that has gone on with the rioting and stuff. This has been a year of tumult and confusion and strife and things that will upset us. But we have a peace from God that will get us through those times. Amen? Amen. If you look in the Scripture talks about two types of peace. There's peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God and the peace of God. You will never have the peace of God until you make peace with God. You have to have that. That is Christianity 101. That's the foundation of Christianity, that we're sinners. We inherited the sin nature from Adam. We are born alienated from God with a sin nature. And when you accept Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, He reconciles you. He makes the two back into one again. And the enmity and the strife and the division and the separation and that God-shaped void inside of us that's hollowed out that needs God, when that comes back together, the Scripture says that God writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are saved. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And things vertical are made right. We're at peace with God. Can anybody say amen this morning? Isn't it a wonderful thing to lay your head on the pillow at night and say, I'm at peace with God. If I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing to be at peace with God. And I'm at peace with God, but I don't always have the peace of God. And everybody said, amen. You can be saved and still get your cage rattled, okay? You can have things, they're called teenagers, that will rattle your cage. You get those phone calls and you pull the seat on caller ID and you, oh goodness, I wonder what's tore up now. I wonder what's happening now. Evan, don't smile. But we've got good kids. I'm just using them as a example this morning. I want to talk to you about the peace of God this morning. I mentioned peace with God and explained that. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace we now stand. And I want to encourage you this morning to stand in that grace, the grace in which we stand. But don't. Don't lose the peace of God, okay? Don't lose the peace of God. This message this morning, I guess I could sum it up in a nutshell, is what's robbing the peace of God from you? And I know there's several things that have been going on, but I want to go through a few things that are peace robbers, things that will rob the peace of God from you. And the first thing that will rob the peace of God from you if you find yourself without peace is neglecting your spiritual life. If you neglect your spiritual life, you will forfeit the peace of God. Amen? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and I said this the other night on the Zoom church video, that this is what Brother Dale, this is a scripture he used to always bring up, or I remember him saying, Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast, fixed, stayed on me. If you stay in the Word of God, if you will spend time in the Word of God, if you will make the Word of God a priority in your life, God will give you peace. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace are those who love your law, and nothing can cause them to stumble." But I'll confess to you that some mornings I oversleep, or some mornings I get distracted, and the first thing I know, I look at the clock, and the time's up, and I got to go. And I go through my day, and I haven't spent time, and I haven't prayed, and I haven't read like I should. And I tell you what, if you do that, and it's easy to do that and make a habit of not doing that, the first thing you know, the peace of God will be robbed from you. Do not neglect your spiritual life. In times we're living in right now, don't neglect your spiritual life. Amen? Number two, watch what you feed on. Watch what you feed on. Melissa and I will be watching TV, and everything on TV now makes me mad. Except Matt Dillon. We started watching Matt Dillon, and he's still killing. He shoots somebody at the first ever show and usually shoots somebody in the show. So, and half the people in here said, "Matt who?" Gunsmoke. But we've reverted to Gunsmoke, okay? We're mad at NASCAR. We're mad at the NFL. We're mad at baseball. We're mad at everybody. And we can't hardly watch the news. We were watching the news the other night, and Melissa, I can't remember how it was. Let's just say Melissa had it on, and I said, "I can't watch it. Turn it off. Please, turn it." And she turned it off. A few nights later, the roles reversed. I was watching it. She said, "I can't watch this. Turn it off." And we watched Gunsmoke. Maybe the Virginian. Old, old stuff. But what I'm trying to say is, you can get on that phone and in 5 minutes know what's going on in the world. But you start living on this thing and watching this thing, you start watching that TV, it'll make you hate people. I get so mad I want to kill somebody. Okay? Turn that TV off. Put this down. Get in this book. If you want peace, he'll give you peace, but watch what you feed on. Amen? I'm going to say something else that anybody used to ever watch Hee Haw. That was a long time ago. And old Archie would play that doctor, that old flake doctor, and he'd have that stethoscope on, and somebody would come to him and say, "Doc, when I do this, it hurts bad." And he'd hit them with a rubber chicken and say, "Don't do that." Every time, it was the same joke. And if you say, "Every time I watch TV, I lose my peace," somebody needs to get a rubber chicken and hit you and say, "Don't do that." Mm. Don't do it. The third thing, don't neglect your spiritual life. Watch what you feed on. And the third thing is, don't get tore up over things you cannot change. Everybody's heard the serenity prayer. It says, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Okay? There's some things that I can't change, and it bothers me. But I have to have the wisdom to know, "Lord, I need to throw this at your feet. I need to hand this to you. I can't fix this, and it's eating me up." Don't stress out over things that you can't change. There's nothing you can do about it. Don't neglect your spiritual life. Watch what you feed on. Don't get stressed out and bothered by things you can you can't change. And a fourth thing, and this is going to kind of outside of what I've been talking about, but this is a peace robber, and that's willful sin. Everybody's got a lot of time on their hands right now. And an idle mind, my mother had some quote about that idle mind. It is a devil's workshop, isn't it? But if you have ever sinned, and I know nobody in here ever has, but if you have ever sinned, and if you're in relationship with God, there is a thing called sin that will separate you from God. And what I'm saying is that when you sin, that harmony and that devotion time and all that gets messed up. And you feel alienated and you feel dirty and you feel like I need to do 3 days of penance to make up for this. And it messes you up. And I'm talking about willful sin. You know, we all mess up. I'm being realistic this morning. But if you have a reoccurring willful sin, it will mess up your peace. It will. Don't let that happen. And these combined together, these four things that I just said combined together will have you, and this is the last point, have you doubting God's sovereignty. They will, you know, if you neglect your spiritual life, if you start worrying about things and you're wondering what's going on in this world and where is God? What's God up to? Why doesn't God act? Am I alone? Does anybody ever think, God, why don't you act? Why don't you do something? And it'll make you doubt his sovereignty. But friends, God's sovereign. He's not wringing his hands. I've said it before, he's not up for re-election. He's not going to get voted out. He's God. We win. You can read the end of the book. We win. But in the meantime, he promises us peace, a peace with God. I'm going to read this to you real quickly. And this is the peace. Before Jesus went to the Father, he talked to his disciples. And he told them, he said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I accept this for me too and for you too as believers. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Spirit of God. I'm just not going to go off and leave you. And that same Holy Spirit is for us today. We're not orphans. He left the Holy Spirit for us. He said, I'm going to send the Helper. And then in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave you. And he said, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave you my peace, not as the world gives peace. This is something, a gift from Jesus, and it's for us today. Amen? We are his believers. It's just as much for us today as it was for them. The peace that Jesus gives is not circumstantially based. Jesus' peace doesn't rely on our circumstances. The world gives peace, and that's what I thought was kind of funny about this. Jesus talks about a peace that the world gives. How does the world give peace? The world gives peace in a good job. The world gives peace in a 401k. The world gives peace in good social things, you know, like Social Security, retirement, and things like that. A storm shelter may give you peace. There's several things on this earth that give you peace. Security, safety nets in society. The police give us peace. If I have trouble with my neighbor for now, until they defund them, I can call the police. There's a thin line separating anarchy from order, and that's the police, the thin blue line, and we have that. But that's the world gives peace of mind in hundreds of ways, and I'm glad they exist. Amen? But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a peace that's not circumstantially based. Jesus said, I'll give you a peace. When they defund the police, you can still have the peace of mind. When the 401k crashes, you still have this peace. When the job goes away, you still have this peace. Jesus promises his believers a supernatural peace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the kind of peace he gives us. John 16, 33, he said, I've told you this. This is what he's telling the disciples. I told you this that you may have peace in me. He said, on this earth, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have sorrows. But take heart. I have overcome this world. Amen. Got a word for you this morning. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Receive his peace. His peace he gives. We've got to trust him. I've got to trust him. I preach it myself this morning. I've got to trust him. When you trust him, you rely on him, there's peace there. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I want to tell you, if you'll go ahead and come, I want to tell you a story this morning about a guy who went through a lot of trouble, but apparently he maintained a lot of peace. It was in the 1700s. There was a guy who lived, and he was a lawyer. He was a very successful businessman, and he lived in Chicago. The first tragedy that happened was he lost a four-year-old son, and him and his wife made it through that and was okay. I believe it was 1871. Again, he was a successful lawyer, and he bought a bunch of property in Chicago. He was doing very well. And then the Great Fire of Chicago came and burnt down almost all of his property. He lost tons of money. He was trying to recover that, and in 1873 they had an economic collapse, and it just devastated him again. He told his wife, said, take the four girls. He had four girls. He said, us and the four girls are going to go to Europe, and we're going to kind of think this thing over and see what we should do and just kind of get a handle on life again. So he puts his wife and four girls on the ship, and they leave for Europe. Tragically, on the way, the two ships collided, and the ship that they were on sank. She was rescued and made it to England, and this man got a telegram, whatever it was, two words, saved alone. He lost all four of his daughters. He caught the next ship that was available, and he started sailing to England. And as he was sailing, he asked the person on the ship, said, logistically, try to get me as close as you can to where you think this happened. And when they got there, legend says he stopped the ship and just looked and surveyed where his daughters had died. And they continued sailing. And on the trip to England, he wrote this hymn. And it is hymn number 316, if you want to look it up. But you know it. It is Well With My Soul. And would you sing that for us this morning and us join in?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. His nail to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul.
Can you say that this morning? It is well with my soul. I don't know what I would do if I went through what that man went through. But he was able to go through that and talked about peace. And talked about it being well with his soul. And I believe that this is a perfect example of the peace that Jesus promised. That when we face struggles, when we face challenges, we stand in God's grace. Let the storm blow. Just stand firm. But know He's going to see us through. And He promised us a peace that passes understanding. Father, I just pray this morning over this congregation and for those who are here who aren't. I pray that we accept your divine peace. Let the peace of God reign and rule in our hearts. God, help us to let the peace of God be the master of our hearts. Then when stuff rises up, we say, no, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to imagine. I know who you are. Thank you for that. Does anybody need prayer this morning before we dismiss? Amen. Amen. Well, I pray the peace of God goes with you today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you.